Okay, so if I can have everyone's attention. When we first began discussing the idea of having this gathering and focusing on creation care, one of the things that became apparent is the need to tell stories of congregations, of communities that are practicing creation care in innovative and interesting ways. And we thought that one way to do that would be to invite congregations, invite Christian communities, Christian colleges, seminaries, to submit videos telling the story of what they're doing to care for God's creation. And so we got a variety of submissions, and so we are here to show you the selection that were submitted, and there was a long process of gathering all these together. What we're going to do is we have 10 total, and there are varying lengths. We are going to show 5 and then have a short conversation with people from the communities representing those films, and then we're going to show another 5 and then have another conversation. So I'm going to dim the lights in just a moment, and we'll begin viewing these videos. Okay, I'm going to ask those who are in the films that were just represented to have your representative come up, and we're going to have a little bit of a discussion. Okay, so the question we'd ask everyone to be considering is how do the practices that were depicted in these films, how do they form your community's vision of creation?
Well, I'm Amy, and this is Alex, and we are representing Messiah College. Messiah College is located in central Pennsylvania, and it is a Christian university that has its roots in Anabaptist, Wesleyan, and Brethren in Christ tradition. And so even from the get-go, from when you are a freshman, taking your course called Created and Called for Community, and there is a large portion in there that is on creation care focus and doing it in community and learning your vocation based on those roots. And our president of Messiah signed the president's climate action plan back early in the 2010-2009. And then from that, there were a lot of student initiatives on campus that wanted to see the campus become a place where we enacted our faith and our belief in creation care. And so the Office of Sustainability was founded in 2010. And the video kind of highlighted 4 of the big projects that now exist. I actually graduated from Messiah a year ago, and Alex is still a student and very involved. But I think for me, when I started with the Office of Sustainability, it was myself and the director, and trying to piece together projects and get student involvement happening. And piece by piece, it came through. And this past spring, there were 19 student interns with the Director of Sustainability working on these projects.
All right, I'm Alex, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about how this has shaped the culture. So, like Amy mentioned, I have the Office of Sustainability, and something that's really cool about that, just from how much it's grown in a couple of years, is people from all different majors can come into that. It's very interdisciplinary. We're sustainability studies major, so it makes sense that we would be involved with that, but it's becoming a more open thing for people who are in engineering or business or whatever. All of that's necessary, and everyone's coming together to kind of work on different projects. And we've grown so much that we've moved to a very central location in the Student Campus Center. We have an office, a bank used to be there, so it has all these like clear glass windows. Everyone can see into it. Everyone can see us working in there. All the projects are very, very visible, from the solar panels on the roof to the community garden. So everything is visible. There's like signs for everything. And something else that's a great testament to student involvement is the senior gift this year raised $6,500 for an expansion for the community garden. So I'm currently working with that, and we're expanding into another acre this summer. And we produce a lot of food for our dining services, which is really exciting. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah. And so the last piece I kind of want to leave about Messiah is, I think it's a testimony that, kind of that I'm here as an alumni, and something that's so foundational for me is not just how the culture has changed on the campus, but how students who are directly involved with the project, it really changes what you look for in communities and jobs and opportunities once you leave school. So we want to thank you for allowing us to come and be a part of this gathering this year. It's really been really exciting for us.
Hi, I'm Jason, and I'm sure you realize that our theology shaped the way that we meet together, but then in turn, that style of meeting has allowed a lot of flexibility for us to be able to respond in different ways when we see opportunities to care for creation. And especially when we think about it, it really reduces the ability for us to think of church as a separate thing from everyday life. When you meet where you live, all of those things are together. So really, anytime we make a home improvement, we're doing a church improvement. And anytime we do a green practice for our house or our lawn or our neighborhood, we're also doing that as our church. So they all just kind of go together.
My name is Sarah, and thank you. And I'm with the Abundant Table, and I'm really excited to have been part of this film series, which is great. Can you hear me? Is it still?
Oh.
Or I'll just talk really fine. I'm going to talk about what's important to the Abundant. It feels like I'm was important to the Abundant Table. And we think about creation care and radical transformation as something that must be rooted in contextual and daily practices that inform system change. The legs of the Abundant Table, other than what you saw in the movie, really come down to soil and sacrament, farming and liturgy for us, health and wellness of our whole community, of the individual, of the neighbor, and of the ecological system that we're part of, word and study. We are really lucky to have the gift for us to live across the mountain from Shed Myers and Elaine and his wife, and we do Bible study or book study monthly with our interns, as well as celebration community. And one thing that the Abundant Table does well is we party well, office hall financing as well. We practice walking in the liminal space of Sabbath and survival. And I think for that idea of trusting the gift economy, but also recognizing that we have to work our asses off to maintain, to stay afloat. And we kind of live in that middle place of trusting the gift, but also knowing that we are participants in creating that gift economy. That the work of our hands informs our worship, and our worship animates our work. And I'm feeling animates from Shed. That one of the things that we do that is really important on the farm is liturgical practices. We do Ash Wednesday on the farm. We do Stations of the Cross on the farm. And there's just something really powerful about what that does to how we see ourselves. And our farm manager, Raina, is the one who leads those activities. And we recently did our Stations of the Cross focusing on not just ecological degradation, but immigration. And that was really powerful. And then finally, telling our story. And I think Professor Wiersbe talked about naming. We really believe that who is naming our theology and holding the story is really important. And as a farm that is primarily women and monolingual Spanish speakers, we really want our story to be part of the mainstream of what Agrarian theology is. And that we come with many women who are from the liberal arts system, and farm workers who come from the farm worker system, and recognizing that both systems have gifts to offer and deficits that need to be connected with the gifts that the other holds. And that we believe we're actively developing contextual theology in our place. And so thank you for having us speak here And we're really grateful to be a part of the work that you all are doing and making the church a place that is bringing hope, I think, to our neighbors and hope to one another.
From Cornerstone United Methodist Church in Naples, Florida. I use our example of our at least our initial year where we had 12 beds put out as a, more or less an outreach into the community with people and how they form the community. We happen to live in an area which is a resort to a lot of people, and we have the snowbirds down there, and this all goes on. That was in December, I think, that was filmed. We've expanded it from the original 12 beds. Now we have this, they call it pizza garden. There are herbal circular gardens. We have a nursery with a food club that is local. We have now row crops, which produce very well. Well, beyond that, we have 70 fruit trees with that fruit tree club put in, about an acre and a half. But those row crops produced a lot, and during the wintertime, when we find in Florida, these vegetables that we were able to have after church, a large table in which we would give away to our church members as a way to reach into the church and make them engaged in remembering them into creation and community. And that started conversations by giving out vegetables that people didn't realize you could grow in the sand in Florida. And John here, whose son did the video, has something else on that. I just wanted to point out that in our initial meeting, we met and we went around the table and everybody explained, what do you know about gardening? We want to start a community garden. And everybody said, well, I did this garden once. I thought I had a good lot of experience, and the guy who just spoke just before me, I didn't happen to know him in the church. He said who he was, Wes Rowan. I'm in charge of 4,000 acres here in Collier County and 14,000 acres as farm manager for Southeast United States for Lippman Brothers. And I think he actually spoke to the pastor and said, these people, you can't grow in Florida, which is organic. And I'll work with him. And he's become a friend, and we've engaged him. He put in the irrigation system, which is very important down there, and he's actually amazed. So he's one person, at least one person, which converted in the church. But he's in charge of 14,000 acres in Southeast. I think they're number two, number one in tomato production, and number two in overall produce for Southeastern United States. This changes, and to see the faces of people that, what do you do with this? This is, how do you cook that? And a lot of it is demonstrating, how do you cook this? What is kale? And we had, we started out introducing what is kale and how do you cook that. We had kale chips, and they were indicating that now that's become Cornerstone chips. Everybody knows what that is now. So, we're spreading the word in that way.
Thank you, David. We have, most of our garden is about community and about serving community and about being community. And Jan said that so well. The lady on the film was Dave's wife, Jan. The story goes of Jan, who lives across the lake in a subdivision right across the street from the church we live in, a suburban area. For years and years, we're talking a dozen years, looked across the lake and saw the 5 acres at our church and said, there ought to be a garden there. There ought to be a garden there. And finally, one day, they came over to the church. We met through some other resources. They started coming to church, talked to Roy. And sure enough, Roy says, I've been for years wanting a garden at our church. And Jan says, well, I want a garden at your church, too. I've been looking at it. And so through her efforts, she has a way of calling the people up and finding out what to do things. For instance, we need an irrigation system. Wes says, I know how to do that. And he came with all these pipes and all this stuff and put it in. He was a pro godsend in that way. Similarly, we need lots of mulch and manure in order to improve the soil. It's all sand where we are, and you need lots of accoutrements to the soil. Well, so she called the people who cut down the trees in town, and they have all this mulch that's left over. They chip it all up, and they have to take it out to the landfill way out west and east of our town. Well, it costs $30 or $50 to dump your truck at the landfill out there. So Jan just said, well, why don't you just dump it at our place here? And so we had these big mounds, gigantic mounds of these chips, which you let them sit for 2 or 3 years, become this great crumbly compost. You know, we mix it with the horse manure from Roy's farm, and we put that in there, and we get this great compost. Anyway, what has happened is people have come together and found a way to make it happen out of nothing. We have a blank space, now we have the fruit trees, now we have a greenhouse, now we have the whole thing working. It's all community. Thank you very much.
More is coming in just a moment, so thank you. Start the conversation with Joe, who can tell us what the wind wouldn't let
him. I apologize for that. It's less of a film and more like 8 minutes of our friend Andy holding an iPhone 2 hours before the movie. I do a short straw to come up and take responsibility for it. This is how we enact radical submission at Inglewood Christian Church.
And the amateur film.
That's right. It's a core conviction that God has provided us with all that we need at Inglewood Christian Church. Apparently, we did not need a film editor. For us at Inglewood, creation care stuff has to be really comprehensive, all-encompassing. We really do think, I mean, we've seen so many different films that show these wonderful gardens and all these kind of companion planting. We're pretty used to, with plant communities or economic communities or social communities, recognizing that there really needs to be a diversity of activity, of life, for that thing to be healthy. I just don't think that we've got that message in our churches. We seem to be, for the vast majority of our churches, and frankly, a lot of you are doing fantastic things, but the vast majority of our churches are stuck as dispensers of religious goods and services. I think the creation care activities or practices that we try to highlight with a sampling of, literally, who can Andy find in those 2 hours, have really kind of slowly transformed us into more of a robust, multi-dimensional, multi-use kind of community and people together. And we're still a mess, as our video indicates. We're still a mess, but I do think our neighbors have gotten glimpses of the reign and wisdom of Christ as we've just sort of labored together to kind of re-inhabit our Near East Side neighborhood. Some of the things that this has led us into, particularly the solar panels that you couldn't hear me explain, it's given us opportunities to maybe do more and have a bigger impact with kind of traditional creation care things. We have the opportunity now, and we've planned and have proposed just across the street from the church building and where many of us live, a couple blocks from where many of us live, the first net positive energy development in the state of Indiana, where more energy is produced on site than is actually consumed. This would be a 30-unit senior housing development named Oxford Place Senior Apartments. It's pretty cool. It's about a $5 million development, and it's pretty cool in that the effects of climate change fall most harshly on low-income, the aged, and minorities, This apartment would be for low-income, aged, and would predominantly serve probably minority residents, which is pretty cool that they become kind of, they get to live in probably the greenest building in the state of Indiana and become sort of bringers of something new and kind of climate creation care rather than just the sort of victims of it. So, anyway, sorry.
Joy Brown, and I'm the gardening coordinator at Covenant Community Garden. Even though I was not a part of the garden the very first year that it was begun, but I was a member of the church, but became involved in the garden the second year, and it felt such a great feeling of being in community with not only with the people of the church, but with people of the community. That were involved in our garden. We are about half and half, church members and community members. From the beginning and still to this day, we still get about half of our members from the community. Most of them, because they have been brought by someone from the church or someone that has been to visit in the garden. We have lots of groups, like I mentioned in the video, that just come and want to volunteer. And they get interested, they get kind of hooked, and they become garden members. And we even have gained some new church members from people that have come to work in the garden. And we have also helped with other people from different churches coming to us, because for a very long time, we were the only church with a garden. And now there are a few more. They've come to see what we're doing and gone back and started gardens at their churches. So we kind of feel like we're reaching out into the community in that way also. Our church was involved in several different things that to do with creation care. We had a fair trade store in our church a couple of times a year. We also had started an eco-justice ministry. We were doing a just-eating Christian program about our food and where it comes from, and along with the garden, all of these things were spurring us on to thinking about other ways to reach out into the community. And my friend that came with me, Tammy Quick, has a vision of us even reaching out to start a food co-op. And that idea was born from all the things that we were doing at our church. And so now we are working on starting a food co-op in Duke area, which will be our first food co-op in Wake County in North Carolina. So we're really excited about that. But we feel like we have been able, through our work in the community, and because our garden is truly a communal-style garden, that we have been able to reach out and help our fellow neighbors with that food insecurity that we have. Thank you.
Hello. I'm Michael, and I'm a member and sort of recent addition to the board, which is the leadership team of the Catholic Committee of Appalachia. I'm from and currently live in West Virginia, and I like Jason's map of Michigan. In West Virginia, we're able to do that too. Our map looks like this. I live in Wheeling. My colleague, the interim director of CCA, Jeannie Kirk, who's a Catholic worker, lives down in Spencer. But our membership is, all throughout the region. So apologies for there's also some other West Virginia people here, so you probably are familiar with them on that. I'm also a doctoral student in theology at the University of Toronto, but I live back in West Virginia now. And I'm studying traditions of resistance and religion in Appalachia. And so Catholic Committee of Appalachia and the ecumenical groups that it grew out of are some of the main characters and movements in the work that I'm doing in theology. I'm not really it's somewhat textually based what I'm working on, but I'm looking also at movements and people and talking to participants and activist circles that you saw in our video. Our vision of creation care is really spelled out in the two pastoral letters that you've heard about in the video. This Land Is Home to Me and At Home in the Web of Life. Both are available on the internet. I have a few copies of the current printed version. But I encourage you to look at those. The first one was back in 1975, and it's still, it resonated worldwide with people in different contexts for really putting a finger on the idolatry that is destroying the planet and destroying human communities. So our vision is spelled out there in a lot of ways, but two things beyond the pastorals that I thought about in watching our video again and talking to Jean was that our vision of creation care includes a diversity of approaches to solving the really complex problems that we're facing in the world. So our video, our community, is very different than all the other ones in that we're not really one community, we're a community of communities, we're a network of communities, a network of individuals as well. And it's predominantly Catholic, but not entirely Catholic. And like I said, it grew out of an ecumenical movement in Appalachia. So what you see is people with very different theologies, very different practices, different approaches, but all kind of connected through place, through that mountain chain, and a sense of place of Appalachia. So the origins of CCA are quite diverse, and it really grew out of, well, liberation theology was a big part of the story and some of the theological influence, Catholic worker movement, which there's similarities, but there's, you know, differences of opinion and different styles and different political approaches. There's, and these are still kind of different currents within CCA as well. And also, you know, the theologies that are so important to the Ecclesia Project about embodying alternative communities. These are all different theologies and approaches that I think you could see reflected in some of the projects and ministries and political activity at CCA. So I think part of our vision includes that the insight that it's not a competition between different approaches and different theologies, but we all really need a multifaceted approach and different theological resources and different ways of tackling different types of problems on different levels. So that's the one thing. And the second is that our vision of creation care is, it's a long tradition that we have in Appalachia. We can draw on a long tradition of thinking about care of creation. And I don't mean primarily like, you know, eco-theology is pointing out how the Christian tradition has resources that stretch back that we can draw on. It's not a current insight or anything. But what I mean is that in Appalachia there are Appalachian, like indigenous Appalachian traditions of resistance in the culture itself that we can also draw. So in Appalachia, church people have been thinking about and struggling with environmental devastation and the death of their communities for going on 100 years now. It's not a fad in West Virginia, for example. You know, with kind of all the buzzwords of going green and stuff like that. And so a lot of my theology work is like going back and drawing on traditions of resistance and Appalachian religion and trying to draw that into the conversation as well. So CCA, I think, is part of that. It's an example of how these questions about the connection between theology and lived practices in our churches is a question that goes back a long way for us. And places like Appalachia that are feeling in extreme ways pressure from environmental destruction and various injustices, they're really a gift to the wider church. These places of pressure, I think that your reader uses that term. It's really about the option for the poor and listening to people who are most impacted by the systems that are destroying the planet. So option for the poor is also very central to what we are about. That's it. I think. Oh.
Hello, I'm Nathan Hustler with the Church of the Brethren. I direct the Office of Public Witness in Washington, D.C., and I'm also a pastor of a small congregation. We're not quite as well known as a Catholic, so I'll explain a little bit who the Church of the Brethren are. We're one of the historic peace churches, like the Mennonites and Quakers, fairly small. We have a long history of doing disaster relief and service and peace in the historic peace church element. And when I came to this office about 2 years ago, I started asking the question, what does it mean for us as a denomination out of public witness, to live our faith out of public? Traditionally, D.C. offices are often very legislatively oriented. I started discussing with, if you caught it in the movie, the film, the Global Food Crisis Fund, the group that funded us. I started discussing what does it mean for us to work together and support and have a sort of stronger connection with our communities and our congregations. So this project, Going to the Garden, came out of that desire to live our faith out in public in a more substantial way to support that. I don't know if it was named, we've given grants to 25 congregations, not all Church of Brother, most of Church of Brother. I just got another kind of batch of money to continue this project. It's been exciting to see how these different congregations mesh all the different pieces of their witness and our life together into caring for creation and caring for their neighbors. One that wasn't included, this was David Young from Indiana, went down to New Orleans to do disaster relief, went on several trips after Hurricane Katrina, and eventually ended up moving there and started buying lots of the lower Ninth Ward, and has started an extensive, it's called Capstone Community Garden, and they started doing beekeeping and rehabbing lots and helping neighbors learn. So it's, this project has, I think, started to build connections between sort of legislative policy and system sort of thinking work and local action and taking very concrete actions. I was doing a workshop a few days ago at our annual conference, and a woman showed up, and she wasn't supposed to be speaking at this workshop. She was really excited because she had seen in the kind of program guide saying that there's this garden project, and she came and said, "I was so excited to hear there's a movement." So apparently we've now started a movement, and she was excited to talk about stuff that we had no hand in, but the Spirit moving in a very similar way to start addressing these very specific needs.
Organizations is to really communicate to your communities that missions is really the perfect framework for creation care, because love thy neighbor is like it's in our bones. We don't have to create new infrastructure, green teams in order to address creation care. We already have the framework, and it's within the way that we reach out. So we have a sister organization in Kenya, and they're doing reforestation and another program called Farming God's Way. I'm just going to read you a couple quotes here to really illustrate why missions is really the perfect place for creation care. This is from a believer in Kajabi, where our team is. Why is it that for all these decades, the missionaries right here have never told us that God was concerned about how we manage the forests? Why have they just watched the destruction taking place all this time? So for us, the point of love is reforestation and training in sustainable agriculture. But the reason that those programs in Kenya are successful is because they are mainly discipleship-based. They're getting into the Word together on a weekly basis. And their agricultural methods look like Kenyan agriculture. Another quote, and then I'll have to reflected on. We did not realize why it was important to come to a conference on the environment. On behalf of all the pastors here, we have only one thing to say. We repent. That was a spokesman for a group of 130 pastors from the Presbyterian Church of East Africa.
So thank you all, and this concludes our evening, and I'm told that we need to exit fairly quickly. I think Brent might want to announce it.
Well, the world won't implode if we're not out of the building in 4 minutes, but there is our serving crew had thought they were going to get to clean up and go home, and we've presumed upon them until this point, so on their behalf, I want us to clear on out to the degree that we can. A couple of notes, the schedule tomorrow morning is the same. 7:30 hot breakfast here if that's your choice. Food will be already over in Corlew with an 8 o'clock start time for Lectio Divina. That was a wonderful time this morning. But do note this, if you're staying in the dorms and you're not parents of children that are being babysat there, then we want you to be checking out sometime between 7:30 a.m. and 8:30. So this requires a bit of planning. If you're going to Lectio Divina and doing the continental breakfast there, come through the student center, go up to the second floor, and do your checkout. Give them your key, your card if you haven't lost it, like I lost mine. And then go on over to close your comments. But I've already forgiven myself for that. Just like I forgave other people in prior years. And if you're going to eat here, then come in and go up and use your card to pay for your breakfast and then check out. All right? But the checkout folks will be up there. And for all of those, all of you who don't follow these instructions, your names will be the names I'm calling from the microphone in Corlew Commons tomorrow morning. This always happens. and it's fun, but if we could keep the list of names to about 5 and not 15, I'll be grateful. So for our 10 Film Fest presenters, more than 10 people, but the 10 groups, for Reagan, who organized this, for Chi Ming, I think, who had a key role in making the technology work so well, thanks to all of you tonight, and go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
I have a flight that leaves at 5, so I need to check out. I'm wondering if I can just leave my key and my card with my roommate.
Yeah.